Welcome to another edition of MemCare by Radio. I'm Scott Hollinger, and it's good to be sharing with you once again. I know that for me personally, when I was away from my family and friends, I listened often to radio, and I had a few favorite programs that I never tried to miss. Well, we're thankful that you've included us in your list of programs and time to spend. Today, we're back with another lesson of learning from the eagle. And with us once again to lead us through this lesson is Edmund Speaker to finish this parable featuring the king of the birds, the eagle. Welcome back, Edmund.
Thanks, Scott. Hello, dear listener friend. My hope is that you will be inspired and as touched as I was and still am when I first learned about this amazing bird, the eagle. It has been the symbol of empires and still is used as a symbol for freedom and sovereignty in many countries. More than 30 times the eagle has been mentioned in the Bible. And what I find most important is the fact that God compares himself with the eagle. The prophet Isaiah spoke about the secret of how we can have an eagle experience in our spiritual lives when he wrote, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." In prior lessons, we learned how the eagle is born for the high places. It treats its brood with much care, but also with harshness when the time comes for it to leave the nest and to learn how to fly. We learned how an eagle loses its motivation and becomes dirty and depressed when in captivity. We also spoke about the fact that eagles do not flap their wings to get up on high, rather surf the currents of the air by soaring up. Eagle can get 120 years old. But in order to do that, it's necessary for it to go through the molting process, a kind of midlife crisis and renewal. At that time, there is a chemical imbalance, a change in its body. The eagle goes down into hiding in the valley. It loses feathers and the horn of the beak and claws and becomes weak and depressed. At the lowest point of this time of change and renewal, it hears one day familiar voices. The other eagles have spotted it and from now on start feeding it back to strength by throwing little pieces of meat. Soon the eagle will be again circling in the sky.
Edmund, this was such a great story to hear and so full of practical applications for our own life. I guess it's no wonder the Lord Jesus encouraged the disciples to look at the birds of the air and to learn from them some of the characteristics of our Creator God. He actually assured them that in God's eyes, we're much more valuable than the birds. He definitely cares for us so much more.
Yes, he does. Now today, as we finish this series, I have three more lessons from the eagle. The first is that the eagle faces the storm. In contrast to all the other birds and animals, which look for shelter when the tempest brews, the eagle sits at its preferred place in the high of the mountain and waits for the storm to come. It reads the currents and at the right moment jumps off and lets itself be carried by the strong wind. Its strong wings are specially designed to take advantage of the currency of the air and can adapt very fast. The eagle, after finding the updraft of the air, circles higher and higher until it actually is above the tempest. This is an amazing lesson and takes us back to a saying in the Bible that those who trust in the Lord will soar on wings like eagles. Storms come in all shapes and forms to all of us. We can choose to run from them or face them in faith. The philosopher Emerson said, "The wise man in the storm prays to God not for safety from danger, but for deliverance from fear."
A very powerful story, Edmund. And I think about that eagle when it's riding the currents. It's really not working. It's letting the wind work for it.
Yes.
How many times do we read in the Bible God saying to his children, "Fear not"? Jesus told his disciples, "In the world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." So then, this is a matter of trust and faith. If we remember the example of Peter, who started to walk on the water to Jesus, but then looked at the waves and felt the wind, and not to the Lord, and then he started to sink. I'll share a personal story right here, Edmund. I remember the time that my wife had something similar happen to her, and this was the first time that I took her snorkeling in the ocean. We were floating in about 4 meters of water, enjoying the fish and the coral. And at this point, she was just lightly touching my arm as I guided us to some of my favorite spots that I enjoyed so I could show the fish to her, etc. Well, at one point, I let my body lower into the water, and the distance between my feet that she could see and the bottom was obviously 4, 5, 6 feet. And it was then that my wife understood just how deep that water was, and she panicked. She literally was paralyzed by fear because of the depth, and she sank like a rock. I had to hold her up, and I had to reassure her that she would be fine if she would just relax and let the water carry her, that she would float if she just relaxed and let the water carry her. And then I would help her get back to the shore in safety.
Yes, and we too will be paralyzed by fear each time our focus is on the storms of life instead of looking in belief beyond the dark clouds to the Lord who is faithful and makes all things work for good to those who love him. I remember while growing up in Germany after World War II, that my mother had a picture frame with the saying, "Auch hinter Wolken dunkel strahlt Gottes Licht, verzage nicht." Even behind the darkness of the clouds, God's light is shining. Do not despair.
Edmund, these lessons of trust are certainly not easy to learn. No. One has to be a grown-up in faith to be ready to face the hard and sometimes violent storms in life.
And no doubt about that, Scott. Only a grown-up eagle can face a storm. Until then, it needs to look for protection. It is so interesting to observe Mother Eagle when there is still her brood in the nest and a storm arrives. Instead of facing the storm and taking off, she stays and covers the nest to protect the eaglets with her own body. With her wings, she forms as if it were an umbrella over her young, while at the same time holding fast with her claws to the edge of the nest.
And it would seem actually that Psalm 36 verse 7 seems to have this picture in mind when we read, "Both high and low among men find refuge in the shadow of your wings." It's a comforting thought.
Yes. And the second lesson we want to learn today from the eagle has to do with her behavior when it gets sick. We all know that eagles don't go to a doctor or veterinarian. They are wild and free and totally dependent on their creator. Amazing how God built into them the patience and the instinct to expose themselves to the healing power of nature. The sick eagle will stay on its rock, open its wings, expose itself to the healing powers of the sun ray. Only that. As we listen again to the beginning of the theme verse of this series from Isaiah 40, we hear, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." Maybe it's time for some of us to be reminded that God is the creator of our bodies and can take care of them. When the people of Israel left Egypt to cross the desert, we hear God speaking to them, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you."
Edmund, I'm pretty sure I understand what you're saying, but just so that we're all totally clear, I understand that you are certainly not saying that sick people shouldn't seek help with a doctor or reject medical science, correct?
No, certainly not. But if we listen to the statistics saying that 70% of all the illnesses have a psychological origin, then we also understand that people who live their lives without trusting God are much more vulnerable to sickness. Let's hear the words from Scripture. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones." The point is that even in sickness, we should first trust and seek our help from the Lord. The last lesson from the eagle is the very common and unavoidable reality that awaits all of us. There is a day when the eagle has to die. That day, the eagle goes to its preferred place and instead of looking up into the sun, bows its head, wraps its wings around itself and waits for death to come. When it does, it suddenly falls over and is gone. What we can learn from the eagle is that there is a certain dignity even in dying. I remember when my mother was close to death, she didn't complain. She wasn't desperate, rather calm, and mentioned several times with a broken voice, "I want to go home." She knew that as she was leaving this earth, she was going to be with her Lord, in whom she believed with all her heart. Let me point out that death for the believer is so very different than the death of an eagle. We are not just creatures of God as all animals and living beings are. We have become his children by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from our sin. To his disciples, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you to be where I am."
Edmund, thank you for those words of comfort. The way that you described the passing of your mother was very similar to my grandfather when at one point he was getting a little nervous and a little anxious. And the pastor of our church sat down with my grandfather and said, "Tell me about how you came to know Christ as Savior." And as my grandfather shared his testimony, the pastor said, "So do you feel that that's still valid today? You're still saved, right?" My grandfather said, "Yes." And the pastor really led him to help him see that his salvation is eternal and secure. And that was all it took for my grandfather to relax and rest. And I remember talking to my brother, and he said that grandpa's passing was so peaceful. Mm-hmm. It was just basically, he let go.
Amen.
You know, it's verses like the one you shared from John 14 that each of us can thank God for the hope we have in Jesus. You're listening to MemCare by Radio. We'd like to encourage you to listen to our other programs on the site, as well as check out the other resources available to you. Our prayer and desire is that these programs are an encouragement for you.